Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
What a privilege it is to be a part of a church like this that not only cares enough to reach its community, but cares enough to reach the world with the gospel. Amen? And that's what we're here to talk about this morning, just a little bit on this missions emphasis weekend, is our role in reaching the world with the gospel. You think about our missionary here that we saw a while ago to Zambia, and how we've been supporting him, I believe, since 2010 here at Grace, and all the people that have been saved and baptized and added to the church and called to preach, and other churches started in Zambia. You had a part in that. And that is a wonderful thing. You know, when we see on this side, we only really see the tangible things. We see things that go on here at Grace, and we tell people what an exciting church we have, and we'll see, you know, hear the music and listen to the preaching and all the great outreach. But I want you to know something. This is just as big of a part of the work of this church as anything tangible we see here in Tremont. And thank you so much for your faithful giving. And I know that the missionaries appreciate it, and those who are going to be in heaven one day appreciate your giving as well. And so, but there's one thing that we're going to talk about today, and that makes all of this possible, but it's like the most awkward thing to talk about as a pastor. In fact, it's so awkward, Pastor Josh didn't even want to preach today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm glad to be back here, and my family's glad to be back here as well. But we want to talk about this really awkward topic, all right? And that is the topic of giving, all right? And so, because, you know, there's one thing that preachers get accused of, and that is, well, they just always want to talk about money, right? And I understand that Pastor Josh just took the church recently through a series of messages on money and on finances, and you know what? I wasn't here for any of it. So if hopefully this will go well, and we'll try to reinforce some of the things that he had to say. But we're at Missions Conference, and listen, and the theme is to be the good in the world. And I want you to understand that God has designed one way for us to be that good. And how is it? And that is for us to be givers. That's how we are to be the good in the world, is to be people who give. Now, how do we give? What do we give? Well, I believe first and foremost, we give the gospel. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, can you say amen? Are you glad to be saved? Are you glad you know heaven's your home? And one day we'll be worshiping God together in eternity, in heaven, in perfect bodies, and seeing Him face to face. I mean, that is a glorious thing, right? And we're all going to be there one day. So we are to give the gospel. But understand, we have all been tasked with reaching the world with the gospel. Now, I like to take mission trips. How many of you have ever taken a mission trip before? Raise your hand. Have you taken mission trips? How many of you have not taken one, but you'd like to take one sometime? All right. I think they're going to talk about that at some point soon. But understand this. I like to take missions trips, but I don't get to live on the mission field. God hasn't called me to that ministry. However, I'm still called to reach the world with the gospel. And so what do I need to do that? Well, I send ambassadors. We send people that represent us to a foreign country, and the only way for us to send them is to what? Give. Give money to them. And so I want you to understand that it is impossible for us to really thrive as Christians until we become people who give in every area of our lives. And so while I'm going to talk about missions this morning, we're going to talk about giving to missions, and tonight I think we're going to have a meal. And that's the most exciting thing about today. By the way, you need to be back here tonight. Today, you just get to hear me preach. Tonight, you get to eat Famous Dave's. Hey, you know, and so that's an exciting thing. So be here tonight for that. But tonight, we're going to place a card in your hand, and we're going to ask you to commit to give something to the work of missions. But understand this morning that if we're going to really develop a mindset of giving, we need to do that in more than just giving to the church, more than just giving to missions. We need to have an attitude that says, I want to be a giver. The fact of the matter is, there are two types of people in life, and all of you know what they are, right? There's givers and there's what? Givers and takers. Hey, and by the way, those type of people are everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. How many of you know there's some givers and takers at your workplace, right? There's people who give and there's people who take. I'll be honest with you. I know we're a missions conference, but there's missionaries who give and missionaries who take, right? There are some like that way. There are pastors who give and pastors who take. Parents who give and parents who take. Relatives who give and relatives who take. Other relationships. But I want you to know that God has not designed for us to be people who are constantly looking to be given to, but He has designed this Christian life for us to be constantly giving out. Giving out. We're going to be people who give this morning. I want you to think on two words with me today as we look in just a minute. You can have your Bibles ready in Genesis chapter number 4. I want you to think about two words this morning, and that is this: extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity. How many of us this morning, when you think, how many of you can think of someone, when I say extravagant generosity, you can think of someone in your life who has blessed you, someone in your life who has been extravagantly generous. You, when you think of this person, you think, man, if they see a need, they're going to meet that need. That, you know people like that. There's faces coming to your head right now and names coming into your head who you think, man, if there's a need, they're going to meet that need. And I want you to know that you don't have to be rich to be that person. You don't have to be wealthy to be that person. And it may not be a financial need. It may just be an emotional need. It may be something else. But we need to be people who are extravagantly generous in every area of our life. And if we develop a lifestyle of extravagant generosity in our personal lives, then giving to the work of missions and giving to the work of world evangelism isn't something we stress about. It's just our second nature because we're givers. We're givers. And so to illustrate that, I want us to look at the first two children ever recorded in Scripture, born to the first two humans that God created. So we have Adam and Eve, and their two sons were who? Cain and Abel. And so we find the story in Genesis chapter number 4. As the in reading the story, when we come to this particular chapter, it seems as though there is a need for Cain and for Abel to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things that the Bible doesn't say here. Okay, and for instance, the Bible doesn't really say that God required them to bring a sacrifice. It just says that they brought a sacrifice. And so maybe they felt a need. There was no law given yet, so there was no particular set rules on what the sacrifices needed to be. There was just, they felt the need to bring one. Perhaps God did require it, and we don't find it recorded in Scripture. We don't know why they're bringing these sacrifices to the Lord. We just know that they were told to bring a sacrifice. And, you know, perhaps you have heard, and I've heard it preached, and this may be right, that God respected Abel's sacrifice because Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and Cain brought a sacrifice that was of the fruit of the ground. I mean, if you've heard that before, right? So Cain was the tiller of the ground. Abel was one who brought a blood sacrifice. Now, I want you to see that that may be the case. There may be a reason that we don't really know why God honored Abel's sacrifice more than Cain's. Perhaps it was that it was a blood sacrifice, but it doesn't really say that God was requiring that yet. And so what I want to do this morning is maybe present another side of this story that perhaps some have not considered. What if God wasn't necessarily requiring a blood sacrifice? Just think about that this morning. What if He simply wanted them to give something? What if He just wanted them to give something? This is the angle I'm going to preach this message from this morning. By looking at this story from this angle, we're able to learn three principles in regards to giving. And here's those three principles. I'm going to give you all three of my points right away this morning. All right, here they are. You ready? Number one, that is to give what we have. Give what you have. And then secondly, give what is best. And then third, give with the right motive. We're going to draw all three of these from the story of Cain and Abel this morning. And when it comes to missions, we're going to apply all three of these principles. Let's look at the first one, and that is give what you have. Give what you have. Look in verse number 1 here of Genesis chapter number 1, or 4, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel." Now notice what the Bible says here. Abel was a what? Say it with me. Keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a, say it with me, tiller of the ground. And the process of time that Cain brought, let's read that again. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But to Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now I want you to see this morning that each of these men had certain jobs they were responsible for. Cain wasn't less of a man because he tilled the ground. The fact of the matter is, there are some foods that I really like. How many of you like to eat meat this morning? Can you say amen? Like to eat meat? How many of you enjoy fruits and vegetables? How many of you enjoy those? All right, there's a few people that enjoy some fruits and vegetables. I enjoy both. Now, there's one thing I don't understand why God created, and that's tomatoes. I cannot stand a raw tomato, okay? If I were God and Cain brought a raw tomato sacrifice to me, I wouldn't have honored that thing either, all right? But anyway, that's just me. But however, I do enjoy certain fruits and I enjoy certain vegetables. Fruits more than vegetables, to be honest with you. But I enjoy oranges. Anybody like oranges this morning? That kind of thing. And so Cain wasn't less of a man because he was doing the job that was given to him. He was a tiller of the ground. That was his responsibility. And Jacob wasn't more of a man because he raised sheep. That was the job that was given to him. He was a keeper of the sheep. And so from our perspective, it makes sense that Cain would sacrifice fruits and vegetables because he was simply a tiller of the ground. And it would also make sense that Abel would bring a lamb sacrifice because he was a what? He was a shepherd. And so both of these men offered something to God, and it was the things that they possessed. Here is my point. God doesn't expect your sacrifice to be like anyone else's. I want you to think about that this morning because we're going to pray and we're going to ask you to consider praying about giving to missions. And what you don't need to do is look across the auditorium. Someone on this side of the auditorium doesn't need to look way over here and say, well, I bet that person's going to give X amount of dollars a month. I just might as well not even give because I'll never be able to give what they give. Well, God hasn't called you to give what they're going to give. God has called you to give what you have. And let's just face it this morning. Some people have, when it comes to money, more than others. And some of us have more ability. And again, we're not just talking about missions. God wants us to give of anything that we have what we have. I want you to look at a couple of verses in the New Testament this morning. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in what? Himself alone. And not in another. Galatians chapter number 1, verse 10. For now do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now here's what I want you to see this morning. Whatever you commit to giving to missions is not between you and Pastor Josh. Sorry, it's not. The fact of the matter is what you give to missions really is none of the pastor's know-how. He shouldn't know what you give to missions. And by the way, it's not my business. It's not someone else's church in the business. There is one person, other than your spouse, that this conversation belongs to. And that is you and the Lord. And so we're not to compare what we do with other people. Look, I am not here to please you. You are not here to please me. We're not here to please each other. We are here to do what God is leading us to do. We're not here to serve men. We're here to serve Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. What does the Bible say that is? Not wise. It's not wise to compare yourself. And so, but that's what we find. That's what we find going on here is sometimes we can compare Adam and Cain and Abel and compare their sacrifices. But these guys were just giving what they had. What is stewardship? Stewardship is recognizing that God owns everything, and that we are to be good stewards of God's possessions in which He has entrusted us with. And so God has given you certain things. God has given you certain abilities. He's given you certain talents. He's given you a certain amount of income at your job. He's given you a certain amount of time to be on earth. All of these things that God has given us, and we are to be good stewards of those things. The worst thing you can do in life is to compare your work for the Lord and to compare your sacrifice for the Lord with someone else. You're not to compare with someone else. Just do what you can do for the Lord. Cain and Abel both did one thing right, I believe, from our perspective, and that is they gave what they had. In all of these categories, we need to do that as well with the Lord. Whatever God has blessed you with, give it back to Him for His honor and glory. These folks that are up here singing, God's blessed them in a great way to be able to sing, and they give that for the Lord. There are people teaching on this property this morning, and they give that for the Lord. And so all of these areas, and then, of course, financially as well. So the question must be asked. All right, Pastor Jeremy, from your perspective, if Cain gave what he had, then what did he do wrong? Why did God not honor his sacrifice? Well, that's where the second principle comes in, number two, and that is we are to give what is best. Give what is best. Look again in verse number two. The Bible says, "And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now look in verse number three here. I want to highlight something. "And in the process of time it came to..." That's a key phrase. "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord." Now notice in verse number four. "And Abel, he also," notice this, "brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Now, perhaps, now it's just an idea, but perhaps God was not displeased with what was given, with perhaps the items that were given, but as much as He was displeased with what part was given. Let me explain what I mean. Cain, the Bible says, after a certain amount of time, brought his offering, but Abel brought of the firstlings. In other words, he brought his very first sheep, some of the very first ones that came. He brought the best. It seems that Cain stored up his crops to make sure that he was covered. Now, before I go making a sacrifice to the Lord, I've got to make sure some time passes by, and I've got to make sure that I have my barns full. I've got to make sure I've got my baskets full, and so I'm going to put aside my crops. And now that I'm still getting second fruits and third fruits, I'm going to make sure that I now bring this, and I'm going to give this to the Lord. Cain was covering himself and then tending to the Lord. However, Abel, he brought first. He sacrificed the best for the Lord. Cain gave his leftovers after his own needs were met, but Abel gave to God first and trusted God with the rest. Now, there is a biblical principle in both the Old and the New Testament of giving, and that is, I believe we see it illustrated here in Genesis. We saw it spelled out in Exodus. Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 19, the Bible says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring unto the house of the Lord thy God." Now, this was written after Cain and Abel, but this is God spelling out what He expects out of us. And that is this: God wants you to give what is best. God doesn't desire for us to give Him life's leftovers. By the way, God doesn't deserve leftovers. He deserves the best. Amen? Look at what He says in the New Testament. What does He require in the New Testament? Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your" what? "Bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Look, you think it's a big deal to say, we want you to give more to missions, or we want you to give to the church, however the Lord lays on your heart that way, and we're talking about money. God's not even talking about money here. He said, "I want your body. I want all. I want everything you have. The most important thing you have, tangible in life, is your body. You can't do anything in life without a body, right?" And God says, "I want you to use your body. I want you to sacrifice it for me. And this is your reasonable service." Let's face it, people love their bodies. Now, I'm not a big fan of mine right now. I could stand to thin mine down a little bit, right? Might be some other people here that way, but all of us at some point, we love our bodies, right? For instance, we're concerned with makeup, hairstyle, new clothing, right? We're so concerned with our bodies, and God says, I want you to give that to me. That one thing that you take care of the most, I want it. God desires and deserves the first part of every area of our lives. He knows that if he can get us to sacrifice our body for his sake, that it will be much easier for us to sacrifice anything else in our lives. Money, time, talent, abilities, because God, all I've got here on earth is a body, and I'm giving it to you, so whatever you want me to do with this body, it's yours. In the Old Testament, those saints were required to give to God the first 10% of their income, whatever it may have been. That's in the Old Testament. It could have been animals. It could have been grain. It could have been money. Malachi chapter number 3, verse 18. You hear this verse quoted a lot, right? Where will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but say you, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. This is the Old Testament way of giving. And then in Matthew chapter number 6, we see Jesus give us a New Testament way of giving. Verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Why? Where neither moth nor dust corrupt, neither thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The way you think about and spend your money speaks to what is most important in your life. That's the fact of the matter. Look, for the fact is, if missions and the gospel is important, we're going to give to the church. If we really think that it's important to reach people with the gospel, we're going to be givers. God is calling us to give what we can, not out of guilt, not out of leftovers, but he wants us to give what we have. If it's not important to us, we won't give to it. For each of us, it's a different amount. Now, I want you to see, there's a warning here. God is not calling us to irresponsibility. He's not calling us to that. I knew a lady one time, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I knew a lady one time who was giving to a certain ministry, and she sold her house to give to this radio ministry. And then she was homeless and was asking the church to help her get a house because she sold her house, gave all the equity, all the money she made on the house to this radio ministry. And they bragged, she got about 15 minutes of fame on the radio for selling her house. But she ended up being homeless. Now understand, God is not calling us to sacrifice the money that we spend on feeding our children and feeding our families and going without, but he has called us to sacrifice something. As you evaluate what we're to give, listen, don't sacrifice the stuff that's getting you by. You know, don't say, well, I'm going to give my house payment to missions. Well, that's probably not wise. Right? But there are some things. All of us have some things in life that we can sacrifice. I mean, you know, and I don't like mentioning this because I'm probably the worst one in the auditorium, so I'm just going to throw mine out there. And that is, we tend to spend a little bit more money nowadays on coffee than we ever have before, right? Uh-oh, it just got really quiet in here. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I had a guy at my former church. He refused to call Starbucks Starbucks. You know what he called it? $5, right? And that's pretty much the case. And we're going to walk in there and spend $5 on a cup of coffee and or the entertainment of various forms, clothing and all these other things. And by the way, I'm not advocating legalism. I'm not saying don't buy coffee and I'm not saying don't buy clothes. In fact, buy clothes. You need to wear clothes, right? But what I am saying is let's evaluate what we do and see if there's a few places we can cut and say, Lord, I really don't need to do this. This needs to belong to you. Christians are to give financially to the work of the gospel both here and abroad. And by the way, I also want to say this. There's something else that we have that we can give to the Lord as well. And it's not necessarily money, but it is the best that we have. Now, what is that? It's our kids. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I want you to understand that God is still in the work of calling people to the mission field. And while we are still here and we're going to talk about giving money tonight and what you're going to give for the work of world evangelism through the work here at Grace Baptist Church, I want you to know that maybe we ought to pray about saying, Lord, here's the money I want to set aside, but if you decide to call one of my kids to be a missionary and go around the world and preach the gospel or give the gospel to somebody else in some foreign land, they're yours. Take them, God. The question needs to be asked. If kids aren't growing up here at Grace and becoming missionaries, where do we expect they will? We need missionaries, right? We need them, and we need them to go around the world. But here's the issue. Here's what we say. I'll support the Gardeners, and I'll support the Sinuses, and I'll support the Snowds and the Holtz and all these other people because God's using them. But God, don't you be calling my kids to go to some foreign country. You know, that's not the case that we should have at all. The fact is, one of my daughters constantly talks about the mission field and wants to go. For a while, she wanted to go to Australia. Now she's talking about South America. I don't know what God's going to do with her, but I know this. It rips my heart out to think about her being in a foreign country. I've been to those foreign countries, and they are a little scary. But there is no safer place for our children than right smack dab in the middle of God's will. And if God calls them there, then let them go. Give what you have. Give what is best. This would certainly include your kids. And maybe today you need to pray, Lord, take my kids and use them however you want them to be used. I have them. By the way, money is not my most prized possession. I think my most prized possession is my family. And I don't think there's a greater way I can honor the Lord than to say, Lord, if you call one of my kids to the ministry, I'm all good with it. I'll sacrifice that. Abel gave his best before he ever saw God accept and bless his offering. Think about that. Abel gave it not knowing, not realizing that God was going to bless it. He just gave what was best because that was what was in his heart. And God is calling us to faith. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 7. We walk how? By faith. And not by sight. God is calling us to walk that way. And then number three, give with the right motive. Give with the right motive. It would seem that Abel had no problem giving his first fruits because he had a love for God. However, it would seem that Cain, need to turn that stuff off, and I'm just kidding, all right? It would seem that Cain was giving something because he simply had something extra to give. Here was Abel's attitude. This is what I think. I think Abel's attitude might have been this way. I'm going to give God the very first lamb I've got because I love him. And some of us tonight, whenever Pastor Josh or we get up here, we ask for donations and we ask for you to commit to give a certain amount for a year to missions. You know what our attitude needs to be? I'm going to give the first. I'm going to give the best. I'm going to give what I have, and I'm going to give the best I can to God. Why? Because I love him. Cain's attitude wasn't that way. Cain's attitude was, hey, at least I'm giving to God. He should be happy. I'm just giving him something. We have that attitude towards people in life sometimes, and the fact is sometimes people deserve that attitude from us, but not God. We should never look at God and say, well, you know, I'm just barely, I mean, I'm giving this because, you know, I've got it, and here it is, and God should be happy I'm giving something. No, I believe we give what we can to the Lord out of a giving attitude. In fact, you'll see in the text that God even gave Cain a chance, I believe, to correct his offering, but instead, his wrong motives caused him to commit the very first murder ever in history. Verse number 5, and Cain, but unto Cain, in our text here it says, and to his offering God had not respect. Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. And look at what the Lord said in verse number 6. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto these shall be thy desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now notice this. I believe that was God giving Cain a chance to say, hey, you can fix this. You know what you should do. Go do that. If you're not going to do that, then sin is waiting at the door. But instead, Cain went, talked with his brother Abel because he was jealous that God accepted his offering and not the other. And the Bible says it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up, slew his brother Abel, killed him. When it comes to God, I don't believe we can ever say, I have nothing to give. I won't tell the entire story, but 9-year-old bus kid, Louisiana. He got saved on a Saturday night while the bus worker was out knocking on doors, inviting kids to come to church. The bus worker led him to the Lord, and his parents weren't there when he led him to the Lord. And he said, well, where's your parents? We want to take you to church. He goes, well, I never see my parents on the weekends. They go out and they do stuff, they party, and we're just kind of left here on our own. And the bus worker said, well, all right, well, hopefully you'll be able to come to church tomorrow. And the bus worker went and got the kid and got him ready and went into the house and helped him get on the bus. And you know, there's a lot of questions that could be asked about whether he should have got permission from the parents or not, but we're not going to talk about that in this illustration. But he got that kid to come to church, and as he came to church, the message was on giving that day and giving to the work of missions, and the kid was sitting in the auditorium. I guess they didn't have junior church at this place. The kid was sitting in the auditorium and listening to the sermon, and the offering plate began to pass. And some of you may have heard this story, right? As the offering plate began to pass, the little boy reached in his pockets and had nothing to give. There was no money. He didn't have any money to give. And so the offering plate went by, and he thought to himself, man, I just don't know what am I going to give? And so finally, he remembered the preacher talking about Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, where the Bible says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And he went back there to the back of the auditorium, grabbed the offering plate from the usher and said, I need to give my offering. And the usher just kind of looked at him funny, the little bus kid, what are you going to give? And the little boy set the offering plate down in the floor and stood in the offering plate and said, this is all I've got, but I want to give it. You know, that is exactly what God is calling us to do today. To give what we have with our attitude. Our attitude that says, I look forward to giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. When we allow God to give us, when we ask God to give us this extravagantly generous lifestyle, we become cheerful givers. We become people who say, I look for reasons and ways to give to the Lord. It's all God's. Every bit of money we have in our accounts, our savings accounts, our CDs, our Roth IRAs, all of these things, these are all God's possessions that He has given us to steward. Job recalled that. In the Old Testament, Job had it all, lost it all, and got it all back. And what did he say? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so tonight, when you come back, and by the way, you are coming back, right? Everybody's coming back at 6 o'clock tonight? Is that the time? 6 o'clock. You're going to be given a faith promise card tonight. And we're going to ask you to commit to give to God something. Pastor Jeremy, what am I going to give? Well, how about you just give what you have? Give the best of what you have. But give cheerfully. Give with a smile on your face. With the right motive. Not because you have to. As you think this afternoon, all afternoon, what should that number be? Ask yourself this question. What is my greatest motive to give to the work of missions? And I believe our greatest motive to give to the work of missions is Abel's motive that he had to give to God, and that is, he loved him. Why do I love God? Well, the answer is simple. 1 John chapter number 4, verse 19. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. How many of you love God today? Would you say amen? How many of you know God loves you? Would you say amen? Well, then let me say something to you this morning. If Abel gave what was first because he loved God, then this afternoon as we pray, and I want you to go home and pray, get in your prayer closet or get on your knees beside your bed or sit down with your spouse somewhere in the living room this afternoon and ask God, God, what should we give weekly or monthly or however to the work of missions at Grace Baptist Church to reach more people? And as you think on that, I want you to remember all that God has done for us. I want you to think about 2,000 years ago, God giving His first fruits for us. God giving His only begotten Son. God gave His best for us, and His name is Jesus. What is it then for us to give our best back to Him? He gave it all for us. Let's be extravagantly generous in our missions giving back to Him. What is God wanting you to do? Pray about it. Ask God. Our theme this weekend and for the next 12 months in missions is be the good in the world. Let's make that more than a slogan. Let's make that our lifestyle. We will never thrive as Christians until we learn to give like God gave.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.